This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, this is the Morning Run with Xiao Ning and Chuang, and in about half an hour, we'll be discussing the impact of COVID-19 on the electrical and electronics sector. But in the meantime, let's talk about Malaysia-Singapore connectivity, because earlier this week, the Transport Minister, Datuk Sri Wee Ka Siong, announced that the rapid transit system between Johor Bahru and Singapore is expected to start in January. Now, this project is supposed to cost 3.75 billion ringgit in total, with Singapore bearing 61% of the cost and Malaysia the remaining 39%.
So the surreal is targeted to start operating by the end of 2026 and meant to ease congestion on the causeway by ferrying up to 10,000 passengers per hour per way. The two parties are slated to sign agreements related to the link next week, which is July 30th.
Yeah, so for more on this, we speak to Dr. Lau Teck Hua, Associate Professor at University Putra Malaysia. Good morning, Dr. Lau. The cost of the project is estimated to be about 3.75 billion ringgit. Now, does this sound justifiable? Because what accounts for it being higher than the 3.2 billion ringgit that was negotiated by the Pakatan Harapan government before?
Okay, according to the reports, okay, the main reason why the cost increased is because of the plan to build a new depot in Malaysia. And usually this depot should be built in Singapore. And this is the main reason why the cost increased. But if you ask me whether this is a fair deal or not, then maybe we should think about what is the benefit of having the new depot in Malaysia.
Prof, what about the fact that Singapore will bear a larger share of the cost at 61%? What does that mean in terms of the which side gets the benefit more, if there's ever such a thing?
Okay, if we view from business point, if Singapore owns 61%, means that Singapore should gain more benefit than Malaysia. But now, because of the cost has been revised, has been increased, and the new depot will be built in Malaysia. So then there's a question is whether these share portions still remain or not.
And Dr. Lau, going back to the depot, why do we need it built in Johor? I mean, why should it be shifted?
No, the thing is that this depot is needed for maintenance, for operations. But previously, this depot is not planned to build in Malaysia. So now we want to build this depot in Malaysia. So that's why I ask, what are the advantages?
Yeah.
So as a Malaysian, we want to know, because of suddenly the cost increased by 500 million. Okay, so, and also whether this change will change the share portion or not. So now, at this moment now, we know the share is 61% versus 39%. Another thing is that we also want to know the job opportunities, because according to the report, it can open up about 500 job opportunities. So how many of these job opportunities will go to Malaysia?
And Dr. Lau, do we know at all any of the advantages of this depot being in Johor Bahru that you can perhaps think of?
Okay. If we own the depot and we put it in Malaysia, so it means that we have greater control on the systems. So by right, we should increase the percentage of share. So that's the reason why we want to know, what are the advantages? Because of we didn't involve in the deal. That's why we need to know more about this.
Prof, what does this mean, the higher cost, in terms of cost per kilometre of rail? How does it compare to the other comparable railways? And what do you think about the justification for this increase in cost?
Okay, if we can justify the benefit of having the depot in Malaysia, then 500 million, I think, it sounds more reasonable to me. And I believe that this 500 million is not completely or fully, we use it to fund the building of the depot.
Sorry, and Dr. Lau, going back to the RTS, right? What does it mean in terms of easing congestion on the causeway? Because that was what the RTS was planned for, right? So will it successfully do so in your view? And does the problem it hopes to resolve actually justify the cost?
No, I think we need RTS. Okay, I think we are a bit late already. The demand is there. So if you go to Singapore, if you go to JB, you can see that the demand is there as it keep on increasing. That's why I think I strongly support to implement the RTS. So the thing is that we have to think like now, I think this change is changed by Pakatan Harapan government. So we start with MRT. So later we say LRT, now that we still keep to LRT. So if you ask me, okay, what is the difference between MRT and LRT? The difference is MRT is more for heavier duties service. And for example, okay, it has higher capacity and it has running higher running speed. Okay, and that's why we have to know what is the actual demand. If the actual demand is high, LRT maybe is not that suitable compared to MRT. But of course, this depends on a number of factors. Like for example, the number of stops, the demand, the distance traveled. So if you look at the distance actually is quite short. It's only 4 kilometers. If we say 4 kilometers, LRT is more suitable than MRT. But the thing is that we want to know, okay, the number of stops. If the number of stops is not many, maybe LRT is okay. So that's why we have to understand, okay, what is the demand? Of course, we know that the demand is there so that we know whether LRT or MRT, which one is more suitable.
What about the fact that with the signing of this link, RTS link, Prof, this could be a positive sign for a larger agreement on the high-speed rail between KL and Singapore?
I think we have... Okay, of course, these two are different projects. They are train service, but we cannot, like, for example, like we say that, okay, now the government want to sign the agreement with Singapore and they want to build the RTS, JB and Singapore. But when we go to the high-speed rail, this is totally two different things. We cannot say that because of they have signed this one, maybe this implies that they also agree. Okay, so we have to see this thing differently. Like, because RTS, JB and Singapore is only serve people in JB and Singapore. But when we talk about high-speed rail, it serves people between Malaysia, other part of Malaysia and Singapore.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Dr. Lau Teck Hua of University Putra Malaysia, bringing home the point that the increase in the price of this RTS by ₱500 million is due to the building of the depot. But the question is, we don't really know at this moment, right? And I don't think he also does. What are the advantages of having this depot in Malaysia other than it probably being easier for maintenance? But is that money that we should be spending?
Well, it's basically carriage, isn't it? So the depot will allow you to store stuff and allow you to transport stuff, have control, autonomy over the kind of stuff that it's put in, the amount of stuff, the price, etc.
but it's a joint project.
It's
right?
A joint project. So I didn't realize it was so short. It's only 4 kilometers, right? So that's nearly ₱1 billion per kilometer. That's a lot, okay? But if it's going to facilitate trade and passage and carriage between the two countries, then it kind of makes sense. But the fact that Singapore takes, bears more of the cost is also a bit interesting.
Yeah. I think the previous Transport Minister, Anthony Loke, did come up with what were the estimates of the fare. But this, of course, is based on the old costs. And he said at that time that it would be around ₱15 one way, which for me is rather expensive. So ₱30 a day if you live in JB and you go to Singapore every day. So will that work? Will this be a project which pays for itself? It's always going to be a question mark, right? Because we do know rail projects, even today, MRT, doesn't pay for itself. It covers the OPEX, operating costs, and this is pre-COVID. Post-COVID might be another scenario. So it's always going to be an issue of like the government having to balance between trying to provide all this social infrastructure versus cost.
Yeah, because the Causeway now allows you to drive your cars both ways, right? You can drive to Singapore, you can drive to Malaysia. With this rapid transit link, it's a train. So you leave your cars in Singapore, right? But this is going to allow you to put 10,000 people per hour, per day, and that's a lot. So there's some kind of economic multiplier effect. But once they come into JB, they've got to somehow, if they want to get to the rest of the country, AirAsia or bus or whatever, right? Or rent a car. I'm not sure Singaporeans will be so willing to do that. They'd rather go in their own cars, but who knows, right?
Who knows?
I think the justification is some kind of economic multiplier effect.
For sure. And like Dr. Lau said, it could create jobs, right? But this morning, we did ask, should the government invest more in infrastructure development outside? And there were three options. Yes, being the resounding answer, 83% of the respondents said that. 14% said only in major cities and 3% said no. And we had some interesting replies saying, yes, urban rail systems for other cities like Johor, Penang are urgently needed, and maybe start thinking of even smaller cities like Seremban. With better connectivity, the area will develop. And one of the advantages I think I've read about the RTS is that you're going to see land prices in Johor Bahru kind of bounce, because it might be a possibility that for Singaporeans, you could work in Singapore, but you could live in cheaper JB.
Yeah, so, I mean, good idea. So time to go and buy in, what's that? Iskandar, is it?
Iskandar, yeah. Well, up next, we'll be speaking to William Pesek, who's the columnist at Nikkei Asian Review. That's happening after the 7:30 a.m. news bulletin. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.